Welcome to Encounter God's Truth from Whitcomb Ministries, where we always start with the premise that God's Word is true from the beginning to the end. And we need that truth of God's Word more than ever before we join together here in mid-April of 2020, where we find ourselves in a situation today that few of us could have envisioned just a couple of months ago. The spread of the coronavirus has led not only to grave illness and sadly many deaths, but also to tremendous economic distress, including closed businesses, lost jobs, and many suddenly facing unexpected unemployment. How do we gain a biblical view of such cultural upheaval and turmoil? I'm Wayne Shepherd, and it's my privilege today to welcome back special guest teacher Dr. Andy Woods to address the issue of Crisis 2020, the coronavirus. We've heard from Dr. Woods before and know that he's uniquely suited to speak to us about this subject. He's the senior pastor of Sugar Land Bible Church in Sugar Land, Texas, and the president of Chafer Theological Seminary, and he specializes in Bible prophecy, which he has taught around the country and even throughout the world. But he's also an attorney who has great interest in American and world history. We wanted to bring Dr. Woods back now at this time to address this important and pressing topic in this new and unique series. Today, he'll explain how this crisis developed, showing how the health crisis became an economic crisis, and dealing with the issue of how we as believers should view the entire scenario that we face, with many of our states being shut down, people being ordered to stay at home, and churches effectively being told they cannot have their congregations meeting in person. This will be part one of a three-part series. So here now is Dr. Andy Woods.
COVID-19 is something that has recently encapsulated and captivated the entire globe. We've all recently, the last few weeks, been stuck in our homes and our houses under self-quarantine. We've learned vocabulary words that we didn't know before, such as social distancing. COVID-19 is very interesting because it represents a combination of things. Number one, a global health pandemic. And number two, an economic concern, because now the economies of the earth have been put in a literal halt or a slowdown. The United States economy, for example, was roaring prior to COVID-19 and has now been put in a virtual standstill. And so with this type of global concern, many Christians and those even outside the family of God are asking the question, does COVID-19 and all of its implications and ramifications somehow represent the judgment of God? And I would just say from the outset that it does not represent the judgment of God, for the very simple reason that the only judgment of God that we know of yet future is described for us in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Notice what that verse says. It says, "He will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate." Close quote. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 describes the future tribulation period. And when you study this verse very carefully, you learn many indicators of this time period. Number one, it's a 7-year time period. Number two, it's bracketed. What starts it is a peace treaty between the Antichrist and unbelieving Israel, and what completes it is the second advent of Jesus Christ. And what happens right in the middle or in the midst of this time period is the Antichrist's desecration of the Jewish temple. And it's during this time period that we will see, as described in the book of Revelation, chapter 6 through 19, the various end time judgments being poured out upon the earth, 21 judgments total, 7 seal judgments, 7 trumpet judgments, and 7 golden bowl of wrath judgments, all of which will manifest upon the earth during this future time period of 7 years, sometimes known as the 70th week of Daniel. And so until that time period begins, until the Antichrist enters into that peace treaty with unbelieving Israel launching this period, no one can categorically say that the judgment of God has started. In fact, Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 says this, "And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne." Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Then I saw the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, come." That seven-sealed scroll that I just read about in the book of Revelation, chapter 5 and 6, is representative of the title deed to the earth. And as the various seven seals on this scroll are broken, then the judgments come to the earth. The seventh seal will launch the seven trumpet judgments, and the seventh trumpet will launch the seven golden bowl of wrath judgments. And until Jesus, the Lamb, takes that seven-sealed scroll and begins to open it, no man can say that God's judgment has come to the earth. When that judgment comes to the earth, it will be of a very severe nature. Revelation chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, describing that judgment, describes the opening of the fourth seal. And when that happens, what it says is authority, Revelation 6, verse 8, was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with famine and pestilence, and by the wild beasts of the earth. And then Revelation chapter 9, verse 14 talks about the sixth angel sounding the sixth trumpet. And when that happens, it will result in a death or the killing of a third of mankind. Think about this for a minute. As we move from the fourth seal and ultimately to the sixth trumpet, first of all, one quarter of the world's population will be destroyed. And then of that remaining three quarters, a third of that number will be destroyed, resulting in a grand total of a half of the world's population being wiped out. That's the judgment of God. That is what will take place in the 7 year tribulation period. And so while COVID-19, the coronavirus, is very severe, no one can argue that it's so severe that it's resulted in a destruction of half of the world's population. My point is simply this: not until Jesus is in heaven opening the seven-sealed scroll can anyone categorically say that God's judgment has come to the earth. Not until the Antichrist comes forward and enters into a peace treaty with unbelieving Israel can anybody categorically say that the 70th week of Daniel has started. So COVID-19, as severe as it is, I do not believe represents the judgment of God. So all of this then begs the question, if COVID-19 is not the direct judgment of God upon the earth, what is it? What do we make of it? Where does it fit into the outworking of God's purposes? There's a lot of speculation about COVID-19. Some people believe that it started sort of spontaneously. Other people put it into the level of international terrorism. After all, the area in China, the city of Wuhan, has a high-level laboratory there. Some have speculated that it is the prospect of Chinese communism, not the Chinese, but the regime of China, engaging in international terrorism with our own government, the United States of America. Did this come about through international terrorism? Did it come about spontaneously? I don't think anybody at this particular time has a very clear and definitive answer to that. All of this is just speculation. But I do know this much. COVID-19 and things like it in history, like the Black Plague and things of that nature, are either directly or indirectly related to the fact that we are living in a fallen world. When Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, God said this in Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from the tree. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat your bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. You'll notice what God said because of original sin in Genesis chapter 3. God says, because you have rebelled against me, the very ground that you are living on will now rebel against you. It's going to become difficult for you to eke out a living. And consequently, one of the greatest ecological disasters that has ever happened to this world happened in Genesis chapter 3. You see, original sin did not just affect our individual relationship to God. It negatively and physically cursed the world that we are living in today. We are living today in a fallen world. Paul the Apostle reiterates this theme in the New Testament in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verses 19 through 23. Paul says, for the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, and that the creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. You'll notice that the Apostle Paul personifies creation as in a state of travail. It's groaning. It's groaning because of what it was subjected to through original sin, the sin of Adam and Eve, going back to Genesis chapter 3. And so consequently, we are living in a cursed world and in a fallen world where many, many bad things happen, not necessarily because of the direct judgment of God, but because of original sin and how original sin has cursed our world. In fact, the world that we're living in is three times removed from God's original design. The first curse was placed on creation through the fall. The world was altered again through the global deluge, Genesis 6 through 9. And when humanity came together to build a one-world government and religion, a new world order that excludes God, Genesis chapter 11, God confounded the language and different ethnicities developed as a result, and you see that in Genesis 11. Sometimes in church, you'll see children sing the song, "This is my father's world." when the fact of the matter is this really is God's creation, but it's not the Father's world, because the world that we're living in has been cursed. And as we live in this cursed creation, pandemics and diseases and wars are a reality. In fact, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, just before the wrath of God is described in Daniel 9, verse 27, which is really describing Daniel 9, verse 26, the time period that we're living in now. It says this: even to the end there will be war. Desolations are determined. So diseases, war, international terrorism, and things of this nature are all the consequences of living in a fallen world. And the fact of the matter is we live today in a world where bad things happen to good people. In fact, none other than Jesus Christ himself made reference to this in a tragic event that happened in his era called the Tower of Siloam. Notice what it says in Luke chapter 13 and verses 1 through 5. It says, "Now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.'" Close quote. And here Jesus is reiterating a very simple point, that we live in this world that has been cursed, and so bad things indeed do happen to good people. And so we should not look at suffering as Christians as some sort of unwanted intruder. In fact, the question for me related to pandemics like COVID-19 is not why do they happen, but perhaps I should be asking the question, why are they not more frequent? And whether COVID-19 was caused by international terrorism or some other related activity, you can put it under the category not of the direct judgment of God, but simply living in a fallen world. And yet, with all of this, there's very good news according to the Bible. Jesus Christ entered into history. He paid the consequences for sin. He bodily rose from the dead, and there's coming a day in which evil will be taken out of our world. That time period that's coming is called the new heavens and new earth. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says this: "But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of destruction of ungodly men." Verse 10: "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and everything in its works will be burned up." Verses 12 and 13 of 2 Peter 3 says, "Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which dwells righteousness." Yes, friend, we are living in a world that has been three times removed from the original design of God, where bad things happen to good people. But the good news in all of it is that there's a better world coming. Jesus entered human history. He paid a penalty for us on the cross 2,000 years ago, he bodily rose from the dead, and in so doing, he is the first fruits. The first fruits of the harvest guarantees the rest of the harvest in the calendar. You'll see Christ's resurrection being called the first fruits in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 and verse 23. And he put into motion a chain reaction whereby this very cursed world that we're living in will be done away with and will be replaced by a new heavens and new earth. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4 says, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain, for the first things have passed away." Yes, friend, we're living in a time period where realities like COVID-19 happen. Although it's not the direct judgment of God, it's the ramifications of living in a cursed world. And yet we as Christians can see these things and see them not as things that are intruders, but are as things to be expected. And yet at the same time, we can celebrate and live in hope because the Bible tells us that there's a better world coming. The new heavens and new earth are just on the horizon. And this is the hope that we can offer to a lost and dying world in the midst of any pandemic, including the pandemic that we are experiencing now, known as COVID-19 or the coronavirus. A wonderful perspective to keep in mind. God bless you.
You're listening to Encounter God's Truth and our special guest speaker, Dr. Andy Woods. We're taking 3 weeks with Dr. Woods to address the overwhelming issue of our time, which is Crisis 2020, the coronavirus. I'm sure there are many listening today who've been impacted personally in some serious way by this crisis, and we hope that this series will be helpful in ministering to you. If we can pray for you during this time, feel free to leave a testimony or request at facebook.com/Whitcomb Ministries. Others of you may have extra time to listen to more Bible teaching right now. Please remember that you can hear all of Dr. Wood's past broadcasts and all of the archives of Dr. John Whitcomb's teaching at sermonaudio.com/Whitcomb. Now, it's time for a question and follow-up to today's teaching. My question to you, Dr. Woods, is this. What would be the closest comparison you can find in Scripture to the type of crisis that has overtaken our world in the last month, and what principles might we learn from that?
Well, the one I would pick in the Bible is found in Luke chapter 13, verse 4, recording the words of Christ. There Jesus said this, quote, "Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem?" Close quote. And when Jesus asked that question, he was simply getting across the fact that a tragedy happened there in Jerusalem, known as the Tower of Siloam incident, killing 18 people. And those that were inadvertently killed by this tragedy weren't any more sinful than those who were not killed by this tragedy. Why is that? Because we live in a cursed and fallen world. Our world is removed from the original design of God in terms of creation, where bad things happen to good people. And so when events like the coronavirus and COVID-19 take place, our question shouldn't be, why are these things happening? But rather, why is it that these things don't happen more frequently, given the fallen nature of our world? And yet what we're told in the Bible is, even in the midst of living in fallen circumstances, God can take tragedy in the life of the child of God and use it for his purpose. Romans 8 verse 28 says, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose." You'll notice that that verse doesn't say all things are good. It says God can use them together for good. And what good is he speaking of? Well, the subsequent verse, verse 29, tells us that God's highest purpose for our lives is to conform our daily conduct into the image of His Son. So what we learn is God can even take tragedies like COVID-19 and use them for a higher purpose in our lives if we're open to His leading. So what we see in the Bible is that, yes, we're living in a fallen world, and yet even the tragedies that we face and the difficulties that we face, like the coronavirus, God can and does use those things for higher purposes in our life, the conformity of our lives into the image of Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Dr. Woods. We always appreciate your teaching, and we want to invite everyone to come back for part two of this special series, Crisis 2020, the Coronavirus, next time here on Encounter God's Truth. For more information, find us online at whitcombministries.org. Until next week, I'm Wayne Shepherd. May the Lord God bless you and keep you as you encounter His truth.